fascinated by, you know, how they work, how to program in them. I started as a developer way back in the day, even before we're going into college, and then just worked my way through until I reached to Salesforce.
That is Raj Advani, Senior Director of Product Management here at Salesforce. I'm Josh Burke, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we're going to sit down and talk with Raj about various Salesforce integration solutions that we have on the platform. But before we get started, we're going to pick up right where we left off about how he got into Salesforce.
Oh, that's a great question. So I was working for a company that got acquired by Dell. Oh. And my manager came over to Salesforce and called me the next day and said, hey, why don't you come over to Salesforce? And I knew nothing about the company. This was, you know, in the infancy of cloud.
Okay.
And it was very interesting to come over. So I really just came over based on I was following my manager, which I think a lot of employees end up doing these days.
Yes, indeed. I have multiple people who have been my manager multiple times. It's kind of embarrassing. Right. So follow-up question. When you joined Salesforce, did you know what CRM stood for?
I did not. I learned all of that. I learned all of that.
So common.
Maybe two days. I learned all of that maybe 2 days before my first interview at Salesforce.
Yeah. Yeah. My first interview in this ecosystem with my good friend, Reid Carlberg, also multiple times my manager. He was like, the question was something like, well, what do you think about CRM solutions? And I'm like, back up, buddy. I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
And so, you know, at Salesforce, at least back in the day, they sent you through a 2-week boot camp.
Right, right.
The first week boot camp was more on the product as a whole. And then the second week for the technical folks was a little bit more technical. And I remember sitting in the second week of boot camp because I was coming as a developer. Mm-hmm. And now I was going to be a consultant and thinking to myself, this really just looks like a UI on top of a database. Little did I know how deep it got. When I walked into that classroom, right. That's the first thing I remember thinking.
And I think that's part of the magic of it is, in like back when I did workshops, people would be like, well, what stack does this run on? And I'm like, my answer to you is that it's Oracle and Java, but it's not recognizable. Like if you looked at what's actually making this thing run, it's not being done like any normal relational database that you're thinking about. And I think once people understand like the power of the multi-tenancy and the metadata structure, like that really kind of drives home the charm of Salesforce.
Correct. And that, especially back in the day, right? That took me the longest time for me to wrap my own head around on the fact that who cares what the stack is running on? That's the great part is the customer doesn't need to care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of the old days, how long have you been at Salesforce?
So I am coming up on, in August, it'll be 17 years.
Wow. So you've been with the company about 3/4 of its lifespan. That's pretty awesome.
It's home. Really feels like home. I tell some of my other friends who are also in the tech industry that, you know, at this point, I'm part of the furniture. So I'm not going anywhere.
Exactly. How many hats have you worn over that time?
Oh, that's another interesting story. So Josh, I'm one of the type of person that I like to learn. I like continuously like to grow. I'm not as motivated by titles as I am about really learning more and more. So I've worn maybe 7 or 8 hats here at Salesforce. I started as an engagement manager. Then I became a technical architect. Then I became a program architect. Then I became a CSM and then moved over to product because, you know, my first life at Salesforce was always in services and I was only helping one customer at a time. Mm-hmm. And product felt like a natural progression where I can help more than one customer at a time with what I was working on.
Nice. How would you describe your current job?
My current job is probably my most ideal job that I've had at Salesforce. Nice. I am now the product manager of a couple of very interesting products here at Salesforce. I own Change Data Capture and Platform Events. Those are the two main products I own. Mm-hmm. There's also a bunch of sub-products under that, Push Topics, Streaming API, Outbound Messaging and so on, but that I own that whole space. So a lot of the event-driven architecture space for Salesforce is what I own these days. And why I say it's my ideal job is because I'm one of the few product managers here that I have a tremendous install base of external customers as well as internal customers. You'd be surprised how many other internal features use platform events and changed data capture under the covers.
Okay, so that's fascinating. I found out we did that kind of stuff early on in my consultancy career. Like I found out that there's a, like, there was like a secret API for enabling the like the mobile interfaces. And my favorite was like the years that we spent testing the tooling API by basically running developer console on it.
Right.
Are there other examples you can say publicly that we're doing that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So Einstein uses platform events behind the scenes to help generate some of their inquiries. They use platform events as their messaging service. Change data capture is used in many areas. In fact, one of the areas that it's going to be used in is this upcoming real-time or low latency sync for core tenants with Genie. A lot of that is built as change data capture, as the backbone, which is what my team is working on now, which is a fantastic merger, if you'd say, of two teams. So I have the Genie team who's acting as my customer, telling me what they need. They need to be able to get data out of Salesforce and into Genie in a real-time manner. Well, instead of building a new bridge, why not use change data capture? That's what it's there for. So we're actually using change data capture to be able to sync data from core into Genie.
So I think that is kind of maybe the answer to like some of the core of the next questions I was going to ask, because, you know, I'm somebody who evangelized the streaming API a bunch, and it feels like we're moving more into a, and tell me if I'm characterizing this wrong, like a more bus-centric world around platform events and CDC. And my question was kind of like, you know, why and what are the advantages of, but I feel like you kind of just answered that. Like, would the old streaming API be able to withhold the customer demands of people like Genie?
No. I think change data capture and platform events really, really are the more scalable features or products built on top of streaming API. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I would characterize it. But going a little deeper into your question, when you talk about, you know, that we're moving more towards a bus centric, that is definitely the case, both with our internal products as well as our external products or in what we're telling customers. When I started 16 years ago, Salesforce was so new that when customers would build an integration, they would just, you know, build a bridge. I always put it back into layman's terms of, I'm building a bridge from Salesforce to your third-party system. Yeah. Well, then as that customer's ecosystem grew, they ended up with hundreds of bridges. Mm-hmm. And now I go back to those same customers and they say, hey, Raj, I don't have the budget to maintain these thousands of bridges, all this infrastructure. I need something better.
Right.
And that's where I come in now with the bus. So instead of building all these bridges, you're just building these connectors to the bus. But, you know, everything is going through that one main artery. And now you just have these little capillaries, if you'd like to call them, that are offloading that data where you need it to go. And it's a far more robust and scalable system, especially for those customers that have been with us for a while.
Right. People used to ask me, like, do you integrate with X, Y, and Z? And my answer was like, well, can they use a REST API? Then the answer is yes, because we're an API, you know, focused company. But the move from an API focus to a bus centric focus allows the developers to, tell me if I'm mischaracterizing this. It allows developers to respond to events as to having to build those discrete integrations. Is that about right?
Absolutely correct. It allows developers to develop instead of having to fix and maintain something that they've already developed. Mm-hmm. It allows them to go on and develop what they need to and not worry about what they've built in the past. The event bus takes care of it for them.
Okay. And I feel like we've defined platform events and event bus. I think we're defining that pretty well. Change data capture events, like that's the name kind of describes it, but tell me exactly what the change data capture event relay, I believe that's a full title. Tell me exactly what that does.
Sure. So let's talk back in its infancy. We started with platform events, and platform events is, as it says, right? When you do something in Salesforce and it meets a certain criteria, you can create this event. And this event can be whatever you want it. The payload of that event can be whatever you want it to be. Well, we noticed a lot of our customers were using platform events to build change data capture, meaning they were using Salesforce as their system of record. And when data changed in Salesforce, they needed to make sure their downstream systems got that change and we're in sync. The data was in sync with Salesforce. Mm-hmm. And we noticed so many customers were using platform events to build change data capture. We decided, why not make it easier for them and just build it for them themselves? Mm-hmm. So we built change data capture, which sits on top of platform events.
Got it.
And what change data capture does is exactly what the name says. When you make a change in Salesforce in any object, it tracks that change and then puts that change into an event or a payload and then puts it on the event bus. And then all your downstream systems can listen to the event bus and capture that change. So if you change an address in Salesforce and you may have an order management system or a fulfillment system that needs to get that address change, it'll just be listening to the event bus, get an event that the address has changed in Salesforce, and then change in those downstream systems.
Got it. How discrete and fine-tuned can we get with this? Like, can you, what are some of the filtering conditions that say this is a change in my data that is worthy enough for my downstream systems to know about it?
So the beauty of change data capture is, right, we capture every change. So there's mm-hmm. no setup saying, I only want to capture this field or this field. We capture it all and send it all.
Okay.
Now, when your third-party system is listening, your client is listening for it, we let the customer at the client side decide what they want to do with it. If they only care about field A, B, and C, that's great. If they care about all the fields, that's great. We give them everything, and mm-hmm. we give the customer the flexibility to decide what fields they want. There's no extra cost based on the number of fields being sent.
Got it. And so I think that gets to, you know, when we start looking at different use cases, there's some commonality, right? Like near real-time frequency is almost always something people are asking for, if not real-time. And then, you know, the capacity to work with different vendors and different parties and different systems. It seems like a lot of the changes in use cases really kind of come to breadth and width. And so, like, if I have a complex, robust data structure on Salesforce, I'm using Salesforce as my source of truth. How is it? I think you've just kind of helped describe it, but walk me through a good integration system for that that's using CDC so that if I have like 20, 30 different vendors that are listening to me, they can all kind of get the right solution done.
Right. So that's the beauty of the event-driven architecture. Let's say you have 25 systems that need the same data that Salesforce has and needs to mm-hmm. stay in sync with Salesforce. Before, as we talked about, you'd have to build 25 individual bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have 25 systems, each having their own client, which think of it as just as a listener, mm-hmm. each having a listener that's connected to the event bus, listening for the events. And then they decide, do I need to act on this event or not? And so when you make a change in Salesforce, I change, you know, the address of customer Acme.
Yeah.
That change is created as an event, as a payload, put onto the event bus. All those systems can listen. They get that change. And then they decide, oh, I don't care. Acme doesn't apply to me, so I don't need to do anything. Or systems mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3 may say, Acme applies to me. Let me go and change their address.
Got it. How does that compare? Like, if I need to do a more discrete integration from Salesforce out, what are some of my options there?
Great. So change data capture is really focused more towards all data. Then you have mm-hmm. platform events, mm-hmm. which is really more, you know, system to system communication. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say it's really data synchronization. Again, you can make it data synchronization, but platform events is far more flexible in the fact that it's any way you want two systems to communicate. And so you would set up your event to trigger based on any condition that occurs in Salesforce. You may change a field. You may change an opportunity to close one. Mm-hmm. And then you have control of what you want to put into that payload. I can put certain fields into their payload. I can put certain messages into the payload. And then again, very similar to change data capture, that would go onto the event bus. The listeners would be listening. But the difference here is once those listeners get that payload, it necessarily might not be for data synchronization. It mm-hmm. might just be, oh, those systems now need to run their own set of processes. They gotcha. Just need to be notified that this triggering event happened in Salesforce.
So we have kind of two layers here. We've got CDC, which is sort of the constant clarion of this is the current state of the Salesforce data. And then we can dial that down to a more discrete action. And in Apex or in Flow, construct a platform event, which is what I think certain third-party agencies might need to know about in the format that I want them to see it.
Exactly. That's exactly the best way to characterize it. And the fact that you can do it through Apex or Flow, right? We're trying to hit both our customer segments, both the pro code developers as well as our citizen admins or citizen developers. And we want to make sure, one of my mantras in platform is I want to make sure the platform is available to everybody, not just our hardcore Apex developers. I want to make sure the power of the platform can be used by our citizen developers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice because it's like there's nothing – I'm a huge Apex fan, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing specialized about Apex for creating something like a platform event, because a platform event is basically just another data object. And so on almost a, like a technical level, it's like saying, well, Flow wouldn't be able to create a contact. Well, of course, Flow would be able to create a contact, so why shouldn't it be able to create something like a platform event?
Absolutely. That's how I think of it as well. Like a platform event, to me, is nothing more than another object.
Yeah. Now, there's one we have not talked about so far, which is relatively new, the PubSub API. How does that play into this architecture?
So the PubSub API, right? And I get this question from our solution engineers still quite frequently, and I think we need to do a better job of messaging it internally as well, is when I talk about those listeners that I've been talking about, you know, the third-party systems will have these listeners, that's based on this Comet-D protocol. And Comet-D is a transport mechanism for events, on how events get to these third-party systems. Comet-D is, I don't want to say outdated, but it's been around for a long time.
Right.
And there are some new and fancy ways of now getting events to their destination, as well as interacting with the event bus. So publishing events onto the event bus, as well as subscribing to the events. And that's where PubSub API comes into play. Mm-hmm. So PubSub API is our new foray into that space, where you can use the PubSub API to interact with the event bus and to interact with both change data capture and platform events. So they go hand in hand. You would use the PubSub API to publish and subscribe events, but the mechanism of those events would be created by either change data capture or platform events.
Yeah. I mean, for those listening at home, when we say Comet-D is an old protocol, I commonly used it with a jQuery plugin. So that's dating itself pretty well, I think.
Right. And
yeah.
But one of the things I want to call out, because I know as soon as this podcast hits, I'm going to have customers tweeting me and so on. Comet-D is not going away, is it?
Right.
Comet-D is not going away. Like I mentioned, I have a huge install base of customers, over 100,000 orgs that are using platform events and change data capture today on Comet-D. It's not going away. Yeah. Just like we do at everything at Salesforce, we want to give you multiple tools to solve a problem and then let you decide based on your expertise and what you're comfortable with, which tool meets your need.
Yeah. Comet-D still works. It's never going to stop working. And there wouldn't be any reason for us to turn off that faucet. I have an episode on PubSub, but can you kind of give me a high-level description of some of the advantages of PubSub over Comet-D?
Yeah, I think some of the advantages are, first, it's built on gRPC, so it's a little bit more of a newer medium. You get better control with Flow, not Flow the product, Flow control.
Right.
So right now in Comet-D, if you publish 10,000 events, you don't have a way of controlling how many events you want to go to the client at one time. You have it's a lot more cumbersome with the batches. How many batches events go to a client at a time? You get better Flow control with PubSub API. You also have, it's a easier to interact when you want to publish an event onto Salesforce. So if you want to take a third party system and put an event onto the event bus, you have a much easier time doing that with PubSub API than you would with Comet-D.
Nice. So we've talked about a couple of use cases. One we haven't talked about is data virtualization, where I can work with data that's off platform, but it's like on platform. What kind of solutions do we have like that at Salesforce?
So the big one we have there, that's another fantastic question, is the use of Salesforce Connect, right? That's the data virtualization, when you want to use external data with that within Salesforce, but without having to copy it onto the platform. And so it's essentially like a window into a third-party system. where you'll be able to see the data, but it's not residing within Salesforce. And so, I mean, Salesforce Connect would be the way to go there. It's fantastic if you have, as I mentioned in the past, order fulfillment data that's stored outside of Salesforce. The goal really of Salesforce Connect is really to have, it's like a two-pronged goal. You want to avoid the swivel chair, so you want to avoid, you know, customers having to go through two different systems. They can at least look at the data within multiple systems,
right,
or from multiple systems within Salesforce. So the key there is, right, we want to keep eyes on Salesforce and eyes in Salesforce. And also, it's fantastic because there's a lot of companies out there, especially with security concerns, they don't want copies of their data floating around all over the place. And this way, you can have your data securely stored in one location and just visible through Salesforce.
Yeah. Now, we've been talking at very high levels because it would probably be about a four-hour episode if we started to try to get into custom solutions for custom problems sort of things. What are some resources you recommend for somebody who might be listening to this and they're like, hey, I've got an upcoming integration. I want to make sure I'm using the latest and greatest with Salesforce.
So there's a couple of fantastic integration guides out there that myself and my team and other PMs spend considerable amount of hours putting together. And I don't know how to get the links out to your group, but if they were to search for data integration guide on Salesforce, you'd get a fantastic guide. It's kind of like a flowchart that goes through helping you make this decision tree. You know, these are my requirements. This is what I'm looking to do. I need the data stored here, or I don't mind multiple copies of the data, and kind of walks you through every single option that we have for integration. Now, if you are more focused on event-driven integrations, which I really hope most folks who are listening to this are, search for event-driven architecture guide. And that'll give you a more in-depth version of the first guide that I talked about, but all of the different ways you can do all the integrations at Salesforce, but going through the event-driven architecture paradigm.
Yeah. And tell me, Raj, do you have anything in the pipeline that people can get their hands on?
There's going to be a fantastic pilot coming out for our Genie customers or anybody considering Genie. In the second half of this year, we're going to have a great pilot I kind of talked about with that low latency data replication from core to Genie. Keep an eye out for that. If you have any interest in that, you can tweet me and I can get you added to that pilot. We're definitely looking for more customers there. And if you have any other questions around event-driven architecture, PubSub API, platform events, change data capture, or Genie, please feel free to reach out to me. One of the things I love about my job is being able to talk to customers, whether they're existing customers, angry customers, or potential customers. Any customer is always somebody I'm willing to talk to and wanting to talk to understand how I can help them.
Awesome. Anything else on the roadmap that you want to give a shout out to?
Both my teams are really focused on Genie right now. We have a couple of cool GAs coming out for platform events. One is Published Callbacks, which we've been demoing at TDX and Dreamforce for the past year. I'm really excited that it's finally getting to GA. And the other one is a lot of my customers have had some pain points around understanding how they use platform events. So getting an idea of where they are with limits, how they're using them, who are their top clients and top listeners. And that's also coming into GA in the next release. So should be a win for both for my customers there.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask after Raj's favorite non-technical hobby, and it turns out it's something that's a little more than a spectator sport for him.
So I was born and raised in Canada.
Okay.
And I got three kids now, and they all play ice hockey.
Nice.
So I feel like my favorite hobby these days is coaching them, although they're getting a little better than me, and I'm getting older. So I don't know how much longer that can go. But if I'm not at work, I'm usually at an ice rink, either watching them or on the ice participating with them. So that keeps me pretty busy besides all of the Salesforce stuff.
I want to thank Raj for the great conversation and information. As always, I want to thank you for listening. Now, if you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week.